Oh, hi, it's Mac. It's McCoggan here on Audio Boo. I've only stopped talking for about 30 seconds. Oh my god. Right. A topic that was brought up in an Audio Boo by Lee Storm, who is at N2FGC. And if you want the acronym for that, not the acronym, the... What's it called? It's not mnemonic. Oh god, it's nice to find good coffee. So it's N2FGC. And Lee was talking about the charity organisations that are plaguing her and her husband Art for the past while. Something because she donated to one and then they decide they're just going to plague her, torment her to give up more money. Well, you know, that's a very, very sore subject with us. See, as it's in particular my wife, but I'm involved in that, of course. And these charity companies and organisations are shocking, absolutely shocking, as Lee says. There's one that my wife was heavily involved in, on a layman's terms, if you like. She wasn't in part of the organisation. It's SCIAF in Scotland. And that's the Scottish Catholic International Aid Fund. SCIAF is internationally known for their help to those children in need all over the world. But it used to be run in the proper sense of the word that people donated. You from the chapel. Any chapel at times of the year would be given up these little boxes, little card boxes, maybe about 2.5 inches square, maybe about 3 inches tall or something. And they came flat packed, you opened them up and they formed this lovely wee box and we had a slot in it and you dropped any spare coppers or money you had in there, you dropped it in. When it was full, you took it back, handed it in the SCIAF. In fact, people used to come, volunteer to come round the door and collect the SCIAF boxes. That would be people from your own parish, that is. So you knew them. And it was run on that basis, you know, and so all the funds were going. But over the years, my wife noticed that the hierarchy, the administration was growing, and so all of a sudden they had the head of this department, head of that department, and I'm talking locally here, say through in Scotland, but particularly through in the West in Glasgow, and they all of a sudden there was these big meetings being held, and they were held in hotels, and in the hotel there would be a buffet. And stuff laid on, and she realised that, wait a minute here, you can't do that, nothing. So she investigated and found out that these meetings, as they called them, were being organised at different places throughout Scotland throughout the year, and they were costing thousands and thousands of pounds. Then she found out so many other things from other people, some like herself, who were involved in, say, for example, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, where she was a member up to a point, and then for a few years she was actually president of the local conference here in her hometown. And once she became the president, she began to pick up on lots of other things. For example, money that was not going direct, that there was far too much going to administration. In fact, at one point, some secretary in the head office, now that she wasn't volunteer, she would be paid a wage, and she'd done away with, I think it was something like £150,000-£200,000. It was all covered up, it was hushed up, it wasn't hushed up terribly well, it did leak out, and then they realised that someone had to remake that money, so all of a sudden, they upped the charges on every pound you collected for the SCIAF. There was 18% taken off. So if someone handed in or collected £100, then £18 of that was taken off immediately, and you had to declare it. It'd all go through the books. So everything that you, if you organised a wee event or something, and you collected, say, £500, there'd be 18% taken off that for administration costs. And that was the open declaration costs. There was much more because people were in positions that were no longer voluntary. It was obvious they were being paid some kind of wage. And so all of a sudden it became top heavy. Not only that, but SCIAF now, and has been for a long while, sends out regular pouches through the post. These pouches come through your door. They are so packed with stuff that it slams onto your front hall with a thump. And when you open it up, it's obviously SKIF, it's all branded. You open it up, there's leaflets and booklets and all kinds of stuff in this. These are all being printed in colour and detailing how what SKIF is doing and appealing for your charity and all the kind of things. And my wife now, and has done this for about 2 years, is when they come in, they go straight back out the back door and into the recycle bin. She doesn't even open them anymore. It's costing, we don't know, it must be costing hundreds of thousands of pounds, if not more than that, just to send out this stuff. And yeah, they're appealing to get money, but my God, you know, it's become such a massive, top-heavy organisation now, that surely that 18%, the declared 18% is one thing, but we have no doubt that there's at least another 18 to 20%, maybe more, is being lost through to this over advertising and over appealing to people for money. That's SKIF. She'll have nothing to do with it anymore, and she's not the only one, because obviously she's part of your Catholic community here, and other people in the church talk about SKIF, I think. And the vast majority of people now have given up on SKIF because they become just far too top-heavy and branded themselves as a supreme being and paying wages where it used to be voluntary. In other words, if you volunteer to say be the secretary of the head office, you volunteered those services. Now it's obvious that those people are they're not volunteering. They're applying for the position because there's a wage behind it and benefits, because you get to go to all kinds of meetings and have free food and drink and sit in a big fancy hotel. One we went to, because it was I went along with my wife, that is, I wasn't a member, of St. Vincent de Paul, in Glasgow a few years ago. And what made it worse was it was actually held in Celtic Park, at Parkhead, which was one positive. The negative was that it was a pretty poor meeting. So many people were complaining about everything. And the top table just kept, you know, hitting the ball back over the net and seeing if someone else could come up with something any better. And not only that, but the buffet was curry. Yes, in Scotland, at Celtic, in Glasgow, for virtually everybody that was Scottish, and they put on a curry buffet. That must have cost thousands. The staff were there, you know, providing the food and serving the food. That's all money. If it had been 30 saggies and neeps, I could have understood it. But anyway, so that's just nonsense. But if we take SKIF out of the equation now, we also get played, as Lee and Art do, with the fact that if you do, at any time, do donate to anything, they'll take some details off you, and you can guarantee that you'll be flooded, inundated with appeals. And as Lee also said, you know, she has to live her own life, she has her own bills to pay, and why these companies don't realise that you've been kind enough to donate something. Yes, you could say that, well, they've seen that you've got a kind heart and donated, but then they're appealing to you again and again and again because they want you to focus any donations you're prepared to make to them, and not go giving it off to some donkey sanctuary or some caged up bear in the Middle East or wherever. Now these, I'm not saying anything about these charities. I will say something actually, they do my head in, to be honest with you. Appeal after appeal on the television, it's shocking. Touching the hearts now. I think I spoke about this either on many occasions. What do you do? You're watching your television and it comes to the advert break, and on comes an appeal for a child that's suffering in Africa. The big sad eyes are looking at you straight out your television at you, and they're making you feel rotten and guilty. And at the next break, there's a little donkey being overladen with weight, hardly able to stand, and its hoofs all buckled, and appealing to you to help this wee donkey. And There's people out there going to give to the donkey, not going to give to the child. That's a hard fact. You know, it's just, it's crazy. But there's just one after the other, and I know charities have to get their money, but there was a long conversation a while back, and I remember being part of it. And I remember that, in particular, Jana, who's at JN2N, was absolutely surprised. Now, Jana's heritage is from Germany. And I remember Jana saying that in Germany, they don't have this. They didn't know anything about this 10,000 charities or people doing so much for charity. You know, I'm not saying they don't do anything, but she was absolutely surprised. And she says that in Germany, we don't have all this charity thing. And the reason they don't have it is because the government does what it's supposed to do as best it can and help out people. Why should we in this country or other countries that are involved in all these charities have to run 10 miles, kill ourselves for 10 miles to raise some funds for some special piece of equipment in a child's ward? Why? Because the governments are happy for you to do it. So long as you're doing it, they don't need to spend any money on it. They don't need to fund it. All you dafties out there, and forgive me for saying that, I don't mean that in the literal sense. I'm talking as the government sees things. All you dafties out there that are collecting megabucks for this, that, and the next thing. And that's just why the government promotes charities and shoves it into the media all the time, is because they can say, right, okay, we'll promote this because that will encourage more people to do things for charity. And we won't need to buy anything for them. We won't need to fund this, that, or the next thing. We can go and we can keep our two cars, and we can go and have a lovely life, and we can spend more money on nuclear arms, you know, which we badly need. But as for all the other stuff, yeah, let the dafties out there go and jump out of aeroplanes, climb mountains, and you know, kill themselves running flat out in the middle of the winter. And that's why we get so many charities appeals, is because the government over many, many years, going way back, so I'm not blaming any particular one government, has cottoned on to the fact that if they don't spend the money on something, the people of the country, they'll go and do daft things, and they'll raise the money, and we won't need to. And that's a hard fact, and you can believe it. You can believe it, or you can believe it not, but in my mind, it's a hard fact. And it's getting worse. The more stuff appeals on the television, the more appeals through the letterbox. It's horrendous. I mean, our blue bin, which is the one we recycle paper and recyclable plastics, is usually filled by the end of the week. Not just because of our disposal of cartons or boxes from what we've ate or drank, but from what we now call charity junk mail. That flies through the door almost every day and goes straight into the blue bin. Now that's wasted money, isn't it? And we're not just doing it. Everybody's doing it. Well, everybody in the general sense is doing it. Straight into the junk bin. Someone has to pay for all that. So if they're paying for all that through everybody's letterbox, there's thousands upon thousands of pounds going to two things, or maybe three things. The people who design the appeal, the people who put the appeal stuff, or print the stuff out, the people who then put it on the envelopes, and then the cost to get the post office, the GPO over here, to post them through your letterbox. What do you think? How much do you think that'll cost? And that's all going to come off every penny that you put into that wee pouch that the common collector you post away again. That's my thoughts on charities. I may sound a bit harsh, but it's a reality. In my mind, it's just reality. And to be honest with you, it kind of hardens you against it. And that's, isn't that irony? In other words, they're overplaying it and people are getting fed up. There you go. Time for a hot cup of tea and light the stove and chill. I've had my bit of say. Great subject, Lee, as always.